It's good to be here. Haven't been here for 2 weeks, and it feels like it. My ribs just kept hurting day and night. No rest, nothing, walking the floors, crying out to the Lord. And all of a sudden, this past Tuesday, I get up and pain-free. That's pretty good. You know, 5 ribs really hurt. Don't break ribs. Because there's nothing they can do except for the Lord. Amen? Amen. You're quiet again. Now, just a few minutes ago, we had a nice worship. I felt the presence of God. So we need to entertain that. Huh? We need to just continue to praise Him, worship Him. And you know what? I don't care if I don't have to preach. I want the Holy Ghost to have His divine way this morning. His way. This is His church. We are not Lord over God's heritage. But I want Him to have His way. But as soon as Brother Sam called me, the Lord just kept feeding me while I was cutting grass, even scripture after scripture after scripture. And He gave me the title, In Time, On Time, Every Time. Huh? He might not come when you want Him, but He'll be here just in time. Just in time. Huh? Amen. I'm going to start out reading in John chapter 11. And I got a lot of reading to do, so bear with me. John chapter 11, starting at the very first verse, it says, Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. He's sick. Lazarus is sick. Getting that? Then Jesus heard that. He said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Amen. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode where He was for 2 days. Still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, Let us go unto Judea. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone us, and goest Thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are they not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then saith his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I'm going to stop there. Just feel the need to stop. I desire your prayers. And I desire your amens. Or if you don't want to say amen, say oh me. But say something this morning, okay? Amen. Here Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. The death of Lazarus gave Jesus the opportunity to reveal himself. To reveal himself as the resurrection and the life. Amen. There are seven purposes for Lazarus' death. The first one, Lazarus was sick. Was sick. How many sick this morning? Everybody feeling well? That's great, but we got a lot of people out that are sick. Lazarus was sick. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. At this particular time, Jesus was being rejected by almost everyone. Apparently, he was an unwelcome guest in most homes at this time. He was walking about, preaching and proclaiming that he was one with God, the Son of God himself, as in John 10, 22 and 42. His own family was even having difficulty with him at this time. They were apparently so embarrassed by his claims and the rumors of his insanity that on one occasion they traveled a great distance to bring him home lest he be harmed. However, there was one family who always opened his home to Jesus. One family. He was in and around Jerusalem. The family of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, who were brothers and sisters. They lived in Bethany, a suburb about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Their closeness to Jesus is the reason the sisters felt to free to interpret his evangelistic, to interrupt his evangelistic tour with the request to help their sick brother. Jesus' great love for this family should be noted all through this passage. Pray for me, if you would, please. I want to preach this as the Lord gave it to me. And he kept me at the table for a long time. Me and him just talking. I said, Lord, you know what the church needs. You know who's going to be there. And you know who's not going to be there. So we are the ones that need this. Amen? But I wanted to tell the story. Lazarus was sick. Near death. Jesus loved Lazarus. And he had a relationship with this family like he had with no other. So much that they felt that they could interrupt his evangelistic services to come and to pray for Lazarus. And Jesus got the news. But he stayed right where he was at for 2 days. I want you to get that. 2 days he stayed, and he loved Lazarus. That was his friend. But he stayed. And I'm sure the disciples were saying, did you hear? Your friend Lazarus is sick, and we're not going? No. I'm staying right here for right now. Huh? If we're sick, we're dying in the hospital, we call up Pastor Sam expecting him to come. But he stays home for 2 days. How would you feel? Well, he don't need to come now. Amen? That's how we'd feel. Come on, we're all human. We got feelings. Amen. Don't act like we're so holy that we don't need our pastor. We do. And Lazarus needed his friend and maybe his pastor. But more so, his friend. But now after 2 days, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, let's go. It's time to go. So he headed back to Lazarus' house. And the disciples said, we can't go there. The Jews are mad at us. We can't go right now. But Jesus said, let's go. Let's go while it's day. We won't stumble during the day. But at nighttime, we might, if we have no light in us, it says. Not around us, but in us. How many want that light in you? not upon us, but in. Some would say that we are like the moon. The sun reflects off the moon to give it light, and it shines out from the moon. But no, I want the Spirit of God living in me so it can shine out from me to help somebody. If I have to lay hands on the sick, I believe the Bible says they shall recover. No hesitation whatsoever. Huh? You believe the Bible? We want to be the New Testament church. We need to learn these things. We need a double dip or a double portion of the Holy Spirit within us that'll move us and shake us. I'm not picking, but the older lady that was here about 3 weeks ago received the Holy Ghost. And she said, I was scared to get it because I thought that he was going to make me jump and dance and all that. Well, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He does everything in decency and in order. That's one man you don't want to talk about. He's got feelings. So much that it says blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is a sin. And it's unpardonable sin. Amen. But he knows what you can and can't do. But the Bible says he's going to fill us with Holy Ghost and fire. You should have jumped. You ever catch on fire? You ever singe your hair? Huh? Fire will make you move. Sis, you wouldn't be sitting in that seat if there's a fire under it. But you'd be up trying to put it out. But what we need is the fire. People are looking to us. We're Pentecostals. But sometimes we act like a Presbyterian church. That if a pin dropped, you could hear it. But people, when they come in, they want to see the divine moving of God. That's what they're wanting in our church. They can go anywhere else, but they're coming here. For what reason? They want to see what God is up to. I hear pastors all the time say, God's up to something. You ever hear that saying? God's up to something. I've heard that for years. Well, what is he up to? Don't we need to find out? Huh? Little kids in the other room, if they're quiet, they say, he's up to something. Huh? And you don't just sit there in the other room sipping your coffee, but you get up to see what's going on. Huh? It's time that we get up and see what's going on. We don't want to miss the blessings of the Lord. We don't want to miss another harvest. How many have we missed? Huh? If they don't harvest it at the right time, it falls and it's no good for nothing. We're missing it. But here, the disciples are saying, we can't go. But Jesus says, we're going. But he's just asleep, Lord. He does well if he's just asleep. He's resting. He's doing good. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Wow. What a shaker, huh? Because the disciples didn't know. But Jesus said, he's dead. I was in Bible school down in Cleveland, Tennessee. And this one guy was standing up there and he said, name it and claim it, healings. And I'm not against that because sometimes there is instant healings, but not always. Then there was a black lady in the crowd that said, my friend did that. She said she was in the hospital and she says, I name it and claim it in the Lord's name. And she shut up. The director said, well, what happened to her? Oh, she did. She did. Jesus said, Lazarus, he did. But he's going anyhow. Well, what are you going to do? He's dead. I'm glad he's dead. Did you hear that part? I'm glad. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, I'm glad he's dead. Because now God's going to get the glory out of this. Now you're going to see who I am. The I am is stepping in. Amen? And he goes. And he's heading to Bethany. Martha. Mary. Which one came out first? Do I have to look at my Bible? Martha. Thank you. Had a slip there. But she came running to him. Master, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She didn't know who she was talking to. He said, Martha, look on me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall live and not die. You won't perish. He that believeth in me, that's you, that's I. That's just not for that day. It's for us today. We're not going to perish. The church is not going to perish, but she's going on to victory. With or without you, she's going on. Amen. Somebody somewhere is going to get filled with the Holy Ghost and move this thing forward. This church is on the verge of a revival. Can't you feel it? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got news for you. One service a week doesn't do it for me. And my pastor's sitting right there. I'm used to being drugged to church by my parents. When I was young, there was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night. Maybe we had a prayer meeting on Friday and right back to Sunday again. But it seems like the church, I'm going to say this. I hope I'm allowed to say this. The church is in the arms of Delilah. Just seeing what we can get by with without telling her where our strength lies. And she's combing our hair, brushing our hair. Huh? The church. Huh? Lullabying us to sleep. But every time that the guards came, Lazarus shook himself and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Not in him, but upon him. But one time he went too far. Was his strength really in his hair? No. No. It was his obedience to God. Amen? God wasn't on time there. He warned him and warned him, but he didn't listen. Moses at the Red Sea. Picture this. All those thousands of people that he's led out of Egypt that go to the promised land, and he's stuck at the Red Sea. Huh? Pharaoh behind him, Red Sea before him. What's he going to do? I'm sure there was a lot of murmuring and complaining that day. Huh? But God was on time. On time. He put a pillar of fire behind him so they could not get in. And God stepped on the water. Huh? I know it might say different. He lifted up his rod, but God was there. He's in time and he's on time. And he stepped and the sea rolled. and he walked on muddy ground. Oh, I hope you caught that. The Bible says he walked on dry ground. Huh? I had a theologian tell me one time that, you know, that Red Sea right where he parted was only 3 feet deep. I said, really? I said, that makes it more of a miracle. He goes, what do you mean? I said, God drowned Pharaoh's army in 3 feet of water. Huh? That's miraculous. All he had to do is stand up. But see how people try to make God out to be hardly anything? Let me tell you what. He parted the Red Sea. It wasn't a pool. And it parted. In time, on time. He delivered. And he kept on delivering. The three Hebrew children. They would not bow. They would not bend. Huh? And so he said, let's throw them in the fire. But before we do that, let's make it 7 times hotter. It was so hot that the guards died from the heat. Now, I don't know exactly what the Hebrew children was thinking about. Well, sudden death, sudden glory. You know how we think. Or God's going to have to show up. And when they threw him in the fire, Jesus showed up. Jesus didn't happen in the New Testament. He always was. Huh? Who did God talk to when he said, let us make man? Let us confound their language. Let us do this. Talking to himself? I don't know. But the Hebrew children got in the fire and Nebuchadnezzar came and looked in, and there they are walking around in the fire. Walking. In time, on time. God. And there was a fourth man, and he was likened unto the Son of God. That's what he said. Amen? Amen. Is this okay today? I just want to get... When I get to preach, I want to know what the Lord wants for us. Because when we preach, we're also talking to ourselves. This isn't just for you. But I want a move of God. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm starving for an actual move of God. I want to have a now-day Pentecost. Huh? I want to see those cloven tongues of fire where the Holy Ghost filled all the house. If he's here, he's in the basement. He's in the bathroom where you try to run from God when the altar call is given. He's already there, convicting. Huh? A guy wouldn't let go of the pew one night. He was so under conviction, but he wouldn't let go. And I just talked to him. He was a truck driver. Next day, he called me. He says, I'm halfway to Albany, I guess it was. And he says, I had to pull over. I got saved in my truck because God still kept dealing with me. I said, amen. Amen. Daniel and the lions. Huh? You've heard of them. It's a kid's story. But it's a fact. It's a fact that he was thrown in the lion's den. But it's more a fact if we say he was in the den of lions. That sounds a little better. Huh? God took their hunger away. And all Daniel had to do is prop his head up on one lion, get comfortable, put his legs up on another lion, and slept like a baby. And the old king came the next day. You think he'd get tired of messing around with God's children? Daniel, I'm still here. I'm still alive. Huh? Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we serve an in time, on time God. I wanted my ribs to be healed in the third week, but it took him 8 weeks. 8 weeks of pain, struggling. Amen. I couldn't even drive these last 2 weeks. The pain was so unbearable. But Tuesday morning came. Huh? Tuesday morning, I got up. I sat up. I'm healed. I went like this. I went like this and this. And I said, yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because I wasn't taking no medicine for it. There is none. There is none. He's an on-time God. On time. Remember that old Negro spiritual? He's an on-time God. I know we sing new stuff, but I like that old stuff too. Huh? You didn't never heard that? What? He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He won't come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. You taping this? Yes, he is. I do my best. That's just an old Negro spiritual song. It's good. Just a little chorus. I'm sure there's verses, but I don't know them. Thank God. Amen. I hope I said something this morning that'll help us. I don't know how long I've preached. I don't really care, but I just want us to catch fire. I want us to catch on fire. So we can not gloat over what we have, but we can help others find this, what they're looking for. They're looking for what we have. I've been to a lot of churches. I was searching in a lot of churches and left there like I came. I was still hungry. Still hungry. And I'm thinking, wasting my time? Maybe. But maybe the Lord was showing me, see what's out here? I don't even want to be in there. But then I came here. I don't know how many months it's been now. 3? I don't know. But I knew when I came, this is it. Not because I knew Pastor Sam. That ain't the reason why I stayed. I felt the Lord here. And I appreciate his preaching. And I appreciate you because you made me feel so welcome. I belong now. You can't get rid of me now. But what I'm saying is, since this is my church, I want us to go on. I want to know what God has in store for us. I don't want us for it no more. I want God to move in a special way. I want us to catch fire for him. I want us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I want to pick up serpents if the one's in my way. But I ain't just talking about crawling ones. That's talking about walking ones too. Brother Sam, I want this. I'm hungry for this. Amen. I'm hungry physically because I didn't eat nothing this morning. But you know what? I'm more hungry for God. I want him to move like he's never, never moved before. Aren't you hungry? Amen. I want us to get hungry. That sis, when you're leading song service or worship service, whatever you want to call it, amen, I want the Holy Ghost to fall. Amen. I want to see that Shekinah glory, that beautiful blue mist. I've only seen it one time in my life, but it got thick and it hovered over the people. Just hovered over and it got thicker and thicker. And Satan told me, that ain't nothing. That's a man out back burning garbage and the fans are sucking it in. I went over to the fans. They were sucking out. Satan, you're a liar. Get out of here. You know, I just give him the look. You ever just give him the look? Yeah, right. You know how we do. You know that attitude. Give him the look next time he starts bothering you. Like, really? But all of a sudden, that mist fell. And you talk about a Holy Ghost time. People were healed. People were getting saved. People were accepting their callings. Everything. God just moved and it stayed there for about 20 minutes. And it just moved on the people. I desire that again. God hasn't changed. It must be us that's not hungry enough for what He's wanting to give us. He only knows what we can handle. He knows what we can handle. You're not ready for this. He even told the disciples that. You're not ready for this. Huh? They tried to cast out a demon. He says, I don't know you. I don't know you. I know Paul or Peter and Jesus, but who are you? I don't want that. When I come across things, I want them to know who He's dealing with. Huh? I'm a king's kid. That's what I am. I want us to stand. Pastor didn't tell me how to end this, so I'm going to do it my way. I know we're small this morning, but how many's hungry? Hungry? You wanting a move of God in your life? Then you can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It ain't talking about your house, it's this house. Amen? Because He wants your soul. He's not worried about this flesh that we try to decorate. He wants your soul. Jesus died for your soul. It's saved. The flesh don't get saved. It's your soul that gets saved. This flesh is going to go back to where it came. Back to dust. But the soul is going to live on. That's why we get hungry to go home. The soul is wanting to go back to where it was. It belongs to God. You've been bought with a price and paid for. If you're really hungry, I want you to come forward. And we're going to pray. Brother, if you'd get on the keyboards, please. I'm going to ask the pastor if he would come. Oh, here it is. You know, if we're really hungry, the whole church ought to be up here. The whole church ought to be here.